have always had a special place in my heart for nursery rhymes. It could be as a result of the fact that the earliest book I can remember my mother reading to me was a nursery rhyme book. I can still remember the images from the illustrations from that book that my mom used to read to me. So I've always been intrigued by nursery rhymes. I later became a history major in college, which only fueled my love of nursery rhymes because many nursery rhymes have historical roots. Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Historical roots. Many people believe it's actually talking about the Black Plague that ravaged Europe. Ring around the rosies, talking about the red rash an individual would get. Pocket full of posies. It was believed that if you put posies or some fragrant flower in your pocket, that the fragrance of those flowers would ward off the evil spirits or would ward off the disease. So ring around the rosy. No, no, no. I got a pocket full of posies. Ashes, ashes. We all fall down. You can kind of unpack that one. Hey, guess what? Everybody dies. So next time you see a group of children holding hands and dancing in a circle, singing, ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. You can look and go, how adorable, as those children celebrate plague. So many nursery rhymes have historical roots. Some of them are just whimsical. Hey, diddle, diddle, the cat and the fiddle, the cow jumped over the moon. The little dog laughed to see such sport, and the dish ran away with the spoon. I think if Mother Goose was writing those rhymes today, many people would encourage her to get a drug test. Because where do you come up with those kinds of things? Oh, of course, you have rub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub. We won't get into that one this morning. But if you were to pick out probably the most famous nursery rhyme, chances are it would be Humpty Dumpty sat on a... Humpty Dumpty had a great... All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. But have you ever stopped and thought about what that rhyme is saying? Kind of like when we sing songs on church on Sunday mornings. Sometimes we just sing them without thinking about them. Same thing with nursery rhymes. We'll say them, we're used to them, but we don't actually think about them. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. If you were to open up a children's book that contained Humpty Dumpty in it, and there was a picture of Humpty Dumpty, invariably it would be, he's an egg. And Humpty Dumpty, this egg sat on a wall. What a stupid place for an egg to be. Eggs are fragile and eggs are rounded. Sitting on a wall would be a horrible place for an egg to be. And here's the part of the story where you go, wait a second, I'm an awful lot like Humpty Dumpty. Because we all sit on walls. We all sit on walls. And you can think, boy, Humpty Dumpty, you're an egg. You should know better than to sit on a wall. That's not a safe place for you. That's not a healthy place for you. But here's the thing. We are all prone to putting ourselves in unhealthy places. We are prone to put ourselves in compromised locations. Sometimes the compromised location for us on the wall is when we surround ourselves with people that are not good for us. Now, you can use an extreme example and say, if somebody is struggling with addiction, it would be a bad idea for them to hang out with people that are encouraging participation in that addiction. You could go that way, but sometimes it's far more subtle. Sometimes we surround ourselves with people that are just hypercritical people. And we surround ourselves with people that complain and complain and complain, and it actually damages our hearts. Or maybe you surround yourself with people that gossip. And of course, you don't participate in the gossip. I tell you what, you surround yourself with people that gossip, you start participating. Sometimes by your mere presence, you are participating in the gossip. And it damages your heart. sometimes we surround ourselves with people that, well, quite frankly, push us further and further away from the good news of Jesus than it does draw us closer to Jesus. Sometimes the unhealthy place that we choose to reside is that place where we surround ourselves with people that really aren't so good for us. One of the other walls that we tend to put ourselves on, and it's a very unhealthy place, is that place of running from a problem. Instead of facing an issue in our lives, it's far more comfortable to ignore it. That's an unhealthy place for me. That is a wall that we choose to sit on, and it's a dangerous place for us to be. And you might be sitting here this morning going, wait a second, Mike. You know, I'm a strong individual, and I don't really deal with temptation that much. And I got news for you. Denial is not just a river in Egypt. I like the way that the Apostle Paul puts it in Corinthians. He says, even if you think you can stand up to temptation, be careful not to fall. In other words, hey, if you think you are safe on top of your particular wall, be careful. Be careful. In World War I, Germany had a particular fighter pilot that became world-renowned. He was referred to as the Red Baron. He was a tactical genius when it came to aerial combat. But eventually, he was shot down. And there was a quote that came out about why he got shot down. This tactical genius, when it came to aerial combat, he got killed because he pursued a British airplane too long, too far, and too low into enemy territory. He knew better. He knew better than to fly low. In fact, most historians now don't think he was shot from above, he was shot from below. He went too long, too low into enemy territory. As a result, he was shot down. Essentially, this guy who knew better decided to hang out on a wall. He decided to sit in a place that was unhealthy for him. In his case, it cost him his life. We sit on walls all the time. Sometimes the wall that we choose to reside on is the wall of isolation. And we think, you know what? I can deal with my life all by myself. I don't need everybody else around me. You've heard me say it multiple times. A relationship with Jesus Christ is personal. It was never intended to be private. But oh, we like to go there. When we have places of shame or we have places of struggle, we tend to isolate ourselves. And it's a dangerous place for us to be. The book of Ecclesiastes puts it this way, two are better than one. There's a better return for their work. If one falls down, the other can pick him up. But pity the one who falls down and has no one to pick him up. Likewise, two people can keep warm, but how can one person stay warm by themselves? And then at the end of verse 12, it says, one can be overpowered, two can defend themselves, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. It's a dangerous place to sit on a wall all by yourself. But we do it. Years ago, I was doing a seminar for high school students on love, sex, and dating. And we talked about what I called the lonely couch. I go, you know what? You're dating somebody, that's great, whatever. But if you end up just you and that special someone on that lonely couch, you're setting yourself up for trouble. It's better to be in a group of people. Your ability to resist temptation is greatly increased when you're with other people. But when you just isolate yourselves, you're setting yourselves up for trouble. Or how about sitting in front of that computer screen all by yourself? The amount of pornography that is easily available, sitting by yourself in front of that computer screen, that could be an awfully bad place. What wall do you sit on? What is that unhealthy place that you reside from time to time? Maybe out of shame, maybe out of fatigue, but we're all like Humpty Dumpty. We all sit on a wall, even though we know better. As a result, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. We all sit on walls and guess what? We all fall. The Bible puts it this way in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, you've heard the old phrase, the two constants in life are death and taxes. It's an incomplete list. One of the other constants in life is sin. There's not a person in this room that has not chosen a way of life that is contrary to the desire that God has for your life. There's not a person in this room that has not chosen to sit on the wall. And the result of our choices is we fall. What's it talk about in Genesis? The fall. Here God created a world that was good. Hebrew word for good being? Tov, which is just as easily can be translated as beautiful and functional. So God creates a world that is good, that is beautiful, that is functioning just the way he wants it to. And yet we choose a way contrary to the ways that he desires for our life. And as a result, that which was tov becomes broken. That which was tov becomes less beautiful and far less functional. And that is part of every one of our stories. We all choose a way of life that is contrary to God's desire for us. The result of sitting on a wall is we all fall. But it's the next part of the story that gets me. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Okay, we can all agree, not a good place to put an egg. But as a result, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. That makes sense. You put yourself in that kind of position, fall. Have you ever paid attention to the beginnings of the next line? It says, all the king's, keep horses in your mind for a moment, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. Humpty Dumpty's an egg, and he's on a wall. As a result, he falls. An egg that falls off a wall breaks, or at least cracks. And yet the next line in the story is all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. Can you think of an animal that would do a worse job of putting a broken egg together than a horse? And you might think elephant, rhinoceros, hippo, fair enough. But I would argue that a horse is just as capable of putting an egg together as a hippo. They have hooves. I don't care how smart your horse is. I don't care how big of a heart your horse has. That thing comes up to fix a broken egg, it's gonna make the problem worse. I'm here with the best of intentions. Crunch, 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 sorry. Here's old Humpty Dumpty trying to get mended by a horse. And we laugh at it until we consider this. We all fix with hooves. When it comes to the brokenness in our lives, we have a tendency to go, I can fix this. I don't need anybody else. I can take care of this. I can fix this problem. Good luck with your hooves. We have brokenness in our lives, and our attempts to heal the brokenness, to fix the brokenness, is about as effective as a horse putting together an egg. Now, granted, there are some problems in your life that you can fix. You go to have breakfast, you want cereal. You have no milk. This is a problem you can fix. You can go to the store, buy a gallon of milk. Problem fixed. But when it comes to the more substantial problems and pain in our lives, we try all these different ways to fix it. If I was just in a relationship, then the pain in my life would be taken away. Or if the relationship that I'm already in was a healthier relationship, then all of the problems in my life would be taken care of. If I had a better job or more financial security, then all of my problems would be taken care of and the brokenness in my life would be mended. If I was only more physically fit, physically healthy. And so I'm gonna work out more, and I'm gonna go on a diet, and I'm gonna do these kinds of things because if I feel better physically, then all of my life is in better shape. Don't get me wrong. Being in better physical shape, nothing wrong with that. Having a good job, not a problem. Being in a healthy relationship, good. But if you think that those are the kinds of things that will mend the brokenness in your life, you're about as smart as Humpty Dumpty asking a horse to put together his broken shell. We try so hard to fix the problems in our life, sometimes because we don't want anybody else involved with the problems in our life, because we have so much shame and guilt and pride that we don't invite other people in. But the worst part is we tend to turn our backs on the one that can do something with a broken egg. God, I've got this one covered. I'll take care of it. It's the height of arrogance and, I would argue, stupidity. I've got this one. How's that working out for you? So there's old Humpty Dumpty lying on the ground with horses trying to put him back together again. And what's the end? All the king's horses. And all the king's men couldn't do it. They could not do it. And I will tell you the same thing. You can try numerous ways to take care of the hurt and pain and shame in your life. There's only one way I can say with confidence that a broken egg can be mended. We come to a place where we go, I can't do this. My life is too much of a mess. I cannot fix what is broken, and I need you. There was a tragic survey done a few years ago that asked, what is the most recognizable verse in the Bible? The answer, God helps those who help themselves. It came up as the most recognizable verse in the Bible. Problem is, it's not in the Bible. It was said by Benjamin Franklin, and quite frankly, I would never go to Benjamin Franklin for spiritual advice. Genius of a man, but I'm not going to him for hope and fixing that which is broken in my life. God helps those who help themselves. Flip that around. God came to help those who can't help themselves. He came to help Humpty Dumpty, which means he came to help you. He came to help you as you lay at the bottom of the wall of your choices and go, let me help you put your life back together again. I love the way Jesus puts it. He says this, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all of you who are broken, all of you who are so tired of trying to put your life back together only to see it not work. Come to me. Let me put your life back together. You'll find me to be humble. You'll find me to be gentle. You'll find Jesus to be one of great compassion and love. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. That's out of Ephesians. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us whole again, even when we were a fractured egg. There's a poem I learned years ago, written by an anonymous school teacher. He came to my desk with a crumpled came to my desk, the day is done. He gave me his crumpled paper and said, may I have a new one, dear teacher? I've ruined this one. I took his paper all soiled and blotted and gave him a new one all unspotted. And into his troubled heart, I cried, do better now, my child. I went to the throne with a troubled heart. The day was done. Have you a new day for me, dear master? I've spoiled this one. He gave me a new one. All unspotted, and into my troubled heart, he cried, do better now, my child. We come to God with a broken egg, and we say, God, I've ruined this one. This life of mine, I've fractured. And I've tried so hard to put it back together again, and it's not working. There comes a time in every life when you have to look at your egg and go, I've spoiled this one. Do me a favor. If you're writing or something like that, put your pen and paper down for a moment and take your hands and just go like this. And all I want you to do is look down into your hands. And imagine for a moment, you don't need to look up here, just look down your hands, and imagine for a moment there is an egg in your hands, and that egg represents your life. Pay attention to the cracks in that egg. There are cracks in this egg because of choices that you have made. Some of the cracks in that egg are a result of things that have been done to you that were beyond your control. But pay close attention to the cracks in that egg that are a result of your choice to sit on a wall. Pay attention to the cracks in that egg that are a result of your repeated efforts to fix what is broken, only to discover it's not working. My hooves are doing a poor job fixing the life that I have right now in my hands. Poor Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put him back together again. I got news for you. The life that you are imagining in your hands right now cannot be fixed by you, and it cannot be fixed by me or anybody else around you. There is only one that can fix a broken life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There comes a point in every life when you have a choice. You can take the egg in your hands right now and go, I'm going to continue to work on this until it's all better. Or go ahead and look up right now. Or you can do this. The choice is yours. Are you going to continue to try to hoof your life back together again? Or will you surrender your life to the one that can put it back together again? Go ahead and look at that egg for a little bit longer. And if you would like to join me in a prayer, perhaps today is the day that you say, God, I cannot do this anymore. I have tried so hard. As you look down at that egg, as you look at your life, so very aware of the faults and failures and fractures, join me in this prayer. God, my life is broken. In so many places, and in so many ways, I have been hurt by my choices and by the choices of others. I have tried to fix the fractures in my life on my own, and the result has been more brokenness. I can't do this anymore. I cannot fix what is broken, but you can. And so I give you my life, trusting that you love me. Forgive me for the choices I have made that conflict with the desire you have for my life. Thank you for your love. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through his brokenness, I am made whole. Through his blood, I am forgiven. Amen.